You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey everyone, Tim McMaster here, along with our MLB.com Phillies reporter Todd Zalecki and new father. Congratulations, first of all, Todd.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Everyone's healthy and ready to go, and you are ready back to covering Phillies baseball after, I guess, a brief break, right?
Yeah, it's a great break. You know, not a lot of sleep, but Phillies are a good story, so it's fun to be back talking to Phillies again.
Yeah, now you get to learn how to cover baseball on no sleep.
But
you'll quickly adapt. All right, as for those Phillies, they continue to win baseball games despite a frightening run differential, but they still 13-3 in the one-run games. The ERA is great in those games, if not overall. At what point is this – I don't want to say they're doing it with mirrors, but at some point something has to give, right? They either need to improve on that run differential or they're going to start losing some of these games eventually, right?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I went back a couple weeks ago just out of curiosity just to see how many postseason teams have actually finished the regular season with a negative run differential, and there's only been four. I think it was like there's a Diamondbacks team from in the 2000s, it was the Giants, I think, in 97, the 87 Twins, and the 84 Royals, and that is absolutely it. Now, what's interesting about those four teams is I think the worst one in that bunch had a negative run differential over a 162-game season of like 22, 23 runs, and the Phillies' negative run differential right now is much higher than that. So it's hard to... Let me put it this way. If they would end up really contending, if it's late July and we're still talking about the Phillies being in the wild card race or, you know, could they be buyers, they would really be defying the odds because the numbers, like I said, just don't back up, you know, being outscored by this much, this often, and finishing the season with a winning record, much less making the postseason.
Yeah, and the 87 Twins won the World Series, so who knows, right? Well, they've started to make some moves, and I think trying to do something to spark that offense a little bit. They called up Tommy Joseph, and last week Marlon Anderson was filling in for you on the podcast, and he was actually against the move. It hadn't happened yet, but we discussed the possibility against the move because he didn't think Joseph would be getting enough playing time. But Joseph has been called up, got his first major league hit on Monday. What do you think about the decision to bring up a guy where they're obviously looking for a spark on that offense, and this guy was off to a great start at Lehigh Valley?
Yeah, I think that's what they're trying to do. I don't disagree with Marlon. I don't think he's going to get a lot of playing time to the point where if Tommy Joseph can hit like he hit in AAA, I just don't know if he's going to get enough at-bats because I just don't see them benching Ryan Howard right now for an unproven guy. You know, and listen, Tommy Joseph was the key prospect in the Hunter Pence trade in July of 2012. But he was taken off the 40-man roster last year. He was outrighted and really – seemed like his career wasn't going to amount to much. So I don't think that the Phillies look at him as a savior, but I think they're just hoping like maybe they can strike while the iron is hot. And if he can maybe come up with a big hit here or there, either in a rare start or in a pinch hitting situation, that would help the offense. And that's what they need right now. They're so desperate for somebody to get a big base hit. And fortunately for them, the starting pitching and the bullpen has been good enough, but they really do need offense. And maybe he can help him out a little bit. But yeah, I don't know if he's going to be looked at necessarily as a savior.
He certainly is a great story. You mentioned he actually cleared waivers. Nobody else was even interested in this guy, but he switched positions from catcher to first base, and he really has started to hit. Another guy who started to hit that maybe we were concerned about earlier in the season is Tyler Goodell, the Rule 5 guy from the Rays that you knew had to stay on this roster all year at the big league level if he was going to stick with the organization. And I think there was times when maybe there was questions about that, but he's heating up. 375 over his last seven games going into Tuesday, and he's driven in some runs in that time as well. And he even had a game-saving throw out of left field. What's been the difference for Goodell?
I think a lot of it is just getting the opportunity to play. One of the things that really kind of had me scratching my head the first month of the season was how little he was playing, and what confused me, I guess, a little bit is they weren't getting any production in left field or right field. If you look at the Phillies' OPS from the left fielders and right fielders. It's among the worst in baseball. So it's not a situation where this is a Rule 5 pick. We're going to get him a couple starts here or there, but we have such good talent and guys producing in left field and right field that we just don't have the time to play him or a means to play him. To me, the left field situation, the right field situation had been so bad. My opinion was just throw the guy out there, you know, just throw him out there and let him play a little bit. You really have nothing to lose because you can't get much less production than you've already gotten. And now he seems to be getting in the lineup a little bit more, and he's kind of showing why the Phillies took him with that first pick in the Rule 5 draft. So, still early, still a small sample size, but nonetheless encouraging because, like we just started talking about earlier, they've got to start scoring some runs on a more consistent basis, and if Goodell can give them anything, it would be very, very welcomed.
So they get Goodell in the first pick of the Rule 5 draft, but in less than a month, the Phillies, Todd, have the first pick in the overall 2016 draft, and we're getting to that point where mock drafts are coming out and you're really starting to hear a lot of things. And there's certainly some interesting guys available. A.J. Puk, I think, is the guy a lot of people thought would be the obvious pick, but he struggled at times. There's some bats out there. And last night, Jason Groom, who's from South Jersey, he grew up a Phillies fan. He pitched in Camden, just across the river from Philadelphia, sold out ballpark and pitched great. He's a possibility, although you're not sure if the Phillies would want to go with a high school guy. Are you hearing anything about what way maybe the Phillies are leaning with that first overall pick? Because when you look at a rebuild, and certainly they've added a lot of talent to the organization, but they have to have this draft and that number one pick circled as a big part of this rebuild.
You know what? Yeah, they definitely – and I think last fall when I would talk to people in the organization, I think pretty much everybody thought they were definitely going to take a pitcher. I think at that time, like I said, late last fall, A.J. Puk seemed to be the guy that they were leaning towards. He pitched so well the previous year for Florida. You know, he's got a ton of talent, obviously, but he hasn't been as good as I think maybe they had hoped this year. Doesn't mean anything right now. I mean, he could still become the number one overall pick. But I think everybody thought that they were going to draft a pitcher. Jason Groom, I think they love him. But if you look at the history of first overall picks, I don't know if a high school left-hander has been taken ever. And if it has, I think it might be just once. So looking at the history of it, do they take a shot on a high school left-hander? Remains to be seen. But I think right now there is a chance that they could take a position player. They have guys all over the country right now. There's a kid from Mercer, the outfielder from Mercer. There's a couple high school kids from California that they're looking at, Blake Rutherford, Mickey Moniak. They like all of those guys. And what's interesting about this draft and kind of how the Phillies are handling it, and I'm sure a lot of other every organization with the first overall pick handles it the same way, but it is really an all-hands-on-deck type of situation. So not only do they have all their amateur scouting guys, obviously, but you have people like former Phillies GM and President Pat Gillick out scouting these guys regularly. You have former Phillies manager Charlie Manuel scouting these guys regularly. You have a lot of the Phillies' top pro scouts giving these guys multiple looks. So the Phillies have all their bases covered when it comes time to make that selection. So I don't think they have settled on anybody. I think it's still very much up in the air with about a month to go. It would not surprise me if they took Groom or Puk, but it also would not surprise me if they took a position player because, hey, this season, if anything, is proving that you got to have somebody that can swing the bat a little bit and hit the ball out of the ballpark.
Yeah, and Jonathan Mayo, for what it's worth, in his first mock draft on MLBPipeline.com, has the Phillies going with Kyle Lewis, who's the guy out of Mercer College that you mentioned would be a college bat. I saw Blake Rutherford play at the National High School Invitational, and he's a high school hitter, so obviously further away. But, man, he looks like a pro at 17 years old. So whoever the Phillies get, it's certainly going to be a big piece of their plans going to the future. All right, Todd, before I let you go, I just wanted to get your take on the Joey Votto trolling situation because, boy, did he have fun at Citizens Bank Park over the weekend, the fake flip into the stands, and then he kept the ball. And not only that, but then in the post game, he backed it up. He said, too bad. And this is classic because I think it's something where this wouldn't really matter in a lot of parks, but just the way Phillies fans are and the pride and the way they like to get on players from other teams, and it's a great atmosphere there, and he really played into it, and it just seemed like a perfect storm with Votto and Citizens Bank Park.
You know, I thought it was funny. I liked it. You know, he said he was kind of taunting. I would say taunting, but he was goofing on an adult fan that was giving a hard time during the game. And then he kind of had some fun with it in his post-game comments. Personally, I like that stuff. You know, I think some Phillies fans took offense to it that he was getting on Phillies fans. But in my opinion, hey, you're Philadelphia. You are notoriously tough on the visiting team. I've had a lot of current and former Phillies players say that they have had opposing players tell them that. So if you can dish it, you got to be able to take it every once in a while. And like I said, I love that kind of back and forth. Now, the unfortunate part is you wish that Joey Votto was in the National League East to kind of build on the rivalry a little bit. I would love it even more if, you know, next time Bryce Harper was in town, he started having some fun with the Phillies fans a little bit to really kind of build that rivalry up, because that to me is what kind of makes baseball a lot of fun.
Absolutely, and I guess if you're a Reds fan, you wish Joey Votto was hitting a little better at this point in the season.
That's true.
He's really been struggling. All right, great stuff as always. This has been MLB.com Extras, our Phillies edition. For Todd Zielecki, I'm Tim McMaster. Tune in again next week.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.